Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your children shall prophesy, your elders shall dream dreams, and your youth shall see visions. This is the fourth and final week of our fall series on dreaming. To be clear, we won't stop our dreaming after today. No, in some ways we're just beginning, and I pray that by the end of it, everyone here will have shared at least one dream with us. And I won't stop talking about dreams altogether. It's just that this is the last sermon dedicated explicitly to dreaming for a little while, which means that it is the last sermon that I will open and, spoiler, close with the same quoted verse from the prophet Joel. Maybe you know it by now. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your children shall prophesy, your elders shall dream dreams, and your youth shall see visions. But before we put the series to rest, it does seem sort of important that we at least take a moment to pay attention to Joel, to talk about Joel. Now, forgive me if Joel was already the subject of your individual Bible studies this week, but chances are high that he was not. After all, Joel gets rather short shrift in our scripture studying, mostly because of his stature. Well, his size. That is, he's only three chapters long, which makes him the minorest, one of the minorest of the minor prophets. But one of the things that is also unique about Joel, a name which means the Lord is my God, which incidentally is the reverse of Elijah, which means God is my Lord, Elijah, Ja-el, we sort of can hear it. We digress. The point is, what's unique about Joel is that unlike most of the other prophets, we have no idea what he was talking about. That is, we don't know the context into which he was writing. We can narrow it down to about 500 years, but that's a lot of time. He speaks about an invasion, but we have no idea if he's talking about the Assyrians or the Persians or the Babylonians or the British. We don't know. All we really know is that he was writing at a moment in time when things were not going well, when his world seemed to be falling apart. And into that broken world, he had the audacity to proclaim hope. Into the brokenness, Joel proclaimed hope, which in the end just might make Joel the perfect prophet for us today. In other words, maybe not knowing the particular context into which he was writing gives us all the freedom to imagine what a little hope would do for us today. Because in case you haven't noticed, friends, we could use it. We could use a little hope. Much like Joel looking around our world, things do seem to be struggling a little bit. Things seem to be falling apart almost everywhere we look. Now we're funding our government 1 month at a time. The planet is in peril. There are wars that are far off that we've forgotten about. Sure, we keep our sunflower up for the people in Ukraine, but when was the last time we actually thought much about it? We've watched oppression and injustice and white nationalism rise. We seem to care more about the safety of our guns than the safety of our children. And absurdly, book banning has become more popular than book reading. And that's not even mentioning what's going on in our personal lives. Into that kind of world, as we know, it is really easy to give up hope, to give in to the cynicism, to just throw up our hands or bury our heads when the hits just keep on coming. It's easy to just say to ourselves, well, what is just what has to be. So why bother? Maybe some of us are there this morning. Maybe most of us are there this morning. At least we're not alone. Because in that space, Joel stands, pointing us in a new direction, pointing us toward a third way between trite optimism and cynical pessimism. He's a realist. That is, he pays close attention to what is actually happening in the world, only he's not willing to give in to defeat with what he sees. He reminds us that we can stand in this moment, we can acknowledge all the pain and the challenge and the injustice of the moment, but we can also look towards something else. He's standing there in that brokenness and he is proclaiming out loud, what is not what has to be. He is proclaiming out loud that things can change. He's proclaiming out loud that there is something better out there, a day he calls the day of the Lord. A day that we will notice and recognize the moment that everyone is able to dream. Everyone, young and old, black and white, gay and straight, male and female, rich and poor, broken and whole, Republican and Democrat, trans and cis, and everyone beyond and between. He doesn't use those groups, but make no mistake, Joel, unlike most of the Hebrew Bible, is trying to open his arms as wide as possible. Nowhere else is it included that women and children and elderly are included in that prophetic imagination. He's trying to open his arms as widely as possible, and we would do well to follow. Joel envisions a world filled with people who are willing to dream. He envisions a world filled with people who are willing to not just accept what is, but to see what could be. He envisions a world that is willing to change. What do we envision, Asbury First? What are our dreams? Look, we call them dreams. It's just a metaphor. We can call them whatever we want, so long as they're grounded in hope. Because in the end, what is a dream if not a refusal to be complicit in hopelessness? A dream is a confession of faith, a willingness to stand at a moment in time and to declare for the world that what is not what has to be, and then to take the next step to get us there. See, the dreams are the beginning. But they're not the end, but the beginning. They were there at the beginning of the church. We can hear it in Paul and in the message today from the book of Acts. We can hear it as Peter goes all the way back in that Pentecost moment, in the birth of the church. That is, the founding of the church of Jesus Christ begins with a recalling of the prophet Joel's words that of that day. When your children shall prophesy, your elderly shall dream dreams, and your youth shall see visions. Sure, he flips the orders a little bit, but we'll give it to him. We'll recognize that in his moment, he thought that better world was just around the corner. The better world that Joel imagined was almost there. Here we are, 2,000 years later, still waiting for it to come alive fully. But the good news, friends, is that it is just as close today as it was back then. It is just as close today as it was back then, but it starts with our dreams. As Carl Sandburg says, everything begins, nothing happens unless first a dream. Nothing happens unless first a dream. But it takes people willing to share it and then others willing to embrace it, to bring it to life. And to bring it to life takes all of us working together, which, as it turns out, is part of what dreams are for, like literal dreams are for. You know that moment when you see somebody asleep dreaming and there's that little twitch that happens? For thousands of years, we've always assumed it was the body's way of acting out whatever was happening in the dream, but it turns out that movement and that dream are more closely related than we ever thought. Because it is in our dreaming that the body is able to isolate a single muscle at a time throughout your entire body and test it out to see how it relates to the whole. In other words, our twitches, the muscle spasms that we have in the midst of our dreams, help our bodies learn how they work together, how our body works. It comes in our dreaming. Do you hear? In our dreaming, our body learns itself. Maybe that's true for us as well, friends. Maybe as the body of Christ, it is in our dreaming together that we can finally figure out who we actually are. Maybe it is in our dreaming together that each one of us gets a chance to spasm that muscle that is us to try and contribute to the whole, recognizing that we can't be the full body without everyone here. That it takes all of us willing to share our dreams together to get to that better world, that day of the Lord, as Joel put it. Look, I don't know fully what all the dreams are going to be when all is said and done. I don't know all the dreams that you will share. I pray that I don't know. I pray that you are praying about this yourself and coming up with something that I would have never thought about. But I do know this, that if each of us is willing to share our dreams, if we're willing to open ourselves up to one another, we can get to that world that Joel envisioned, that Peter remembered, and that Jesus the Christ promised, and then charged us with creating his dream of the kingdom of heaven. When we all finally and fully love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. And until we get to that world, friends, then we as a people of faith have no choice but to dream on. To dream on. To dream on. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your children shall prophesy. Your elders shall dream dreams, and your youth shall see visions. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.